Two nights of the year have indelibly etched themselves on the collective consciousness of the Jewish people. Two nights that have had a powerful impact on young and old alike. Two nights that continue to be observed by multitudes of Jews. Two nights that are so different from all the other nights of the year. One is, of course, the festive, warm, and relaxed night of Pesach, and the other, the holy, serious, and awesome night of Yom Kippur. If one asks four questions on the Seder night, one can also ask four questions on Kol Nidre night. Manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halelos. How different is this night from all the other nights of the year? Shebechol halelos, on all the other nights of the year, some of us are in the synagogue and some of us are not in the synagogue. Halayla hazeh, on the night of Kol Nidre, we are all in the synagogue. Shebechol halelos, on all the other nights of the year, some of us pray and some of us don't pray. Halayla hazeh, on the night of Kol Nidre, all of us are engaged in prayer. Shebechol halelos, on all the other nights of the year, some of us are eating and some of us, for whatever reason, are not eating. Halayla hazeh, on the night of Kol Nidre, nobody is going to eat. Shebechol halelos, on all the other nights of the year, some of us feel calm and tranquil and comfortable, and some of us, for whatever reason, are tense and worried and preoccupied. Halayla hazeh, on the night of Kol Nidre, all of us are somewhat agitated, apprehensive, and concerned. After all, hine yom hadin, we usher in the day of judgment. And if on the Seder night we answer, avadim hayinu, that we were once slaves, then on Kol Nidre night we answer our manashtana by recognizing seriously and sincerely, avadim anachnu, that we are now enslaved. If not now, when, on this night of the year, we come face to face with our inadequacies, we become aware of our shortcomings, and we are conscious of our frailties. We realize that we are merely, as we say in one of the piyutim, tomorrow night on Kol Nidre night, it's the top, the first part of the first page of the Xerox sheets. I hope all of you have a copy of the Xerox sheets. If you don't, please make your way outside or just make sure that you're sitting next to somebody who has, because we'll be working off of the sheets tonight. We say tomorrow night, Kihine kachomer biyad hayotzer, we're like clay in the hand of the potter. Bertzoso marchiv, bertzoso makatzer. The potter, the one who operates with the clay, determines the shape of the clay. The clay has no say in the shape of the clay. Kihine ko'evan biyad hamesates, we're like stone in the hands of the divine mason. Kizchuchis biyara mezageg, like glass in the hands of the divine blower. But I would like to pose another set of four questions as a framework for my comments this evening. Elsewhere, and we've already come across this on Rosh Hashanah, we're coming back to it again on Yom Kippur, at the end of the cluster of tefillot that begin with Unesana Tokef. The bottom of the first page, Ki Kashimcha Kenti Hilasecha, And we conclude this extraordinarily powerful and dramatic tefillah with a pretty negative and pessimistic self-image. Adam Yesodo Me'afar V'Sofo Le'afar, a person's origin is from dust, his destiny is back to dust. We are like Kecheres Hanishbar, Kechotzer Yavesh, Kitzitz Novel, Kitzel Over, Ka'anan Kola. We're like a broken shard. We're like withering grass, fading flower, passing shadow. We're like flying dust. And my first question is this it? Is this it? Is this what we are? Is this how we have to conceive of ourselves on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Is this our soul self-perception the night before we enter into Yom HaDin? We're passive, limited, servile, docile. We're flying dust. We're a passing shadow. We're clay. We're stone. We're glass. Not at all in a position to chart the courses of our own lives. So the first question is there an alternative or is there an additional self-perception that's important for us to have as we enter into Yom HaDin? Second question, page 2. The Mishnah says at the end of Maseches Tainis, Lo hayu yamim tovim bi Yisrael, Chamisha asa ba'av uchi Yom HaKippur. The Gemara refers to Yom Kippur as a yamtiv, and not just stam a yamtiv, but a very special yamtiv. The Gemara, in commenting on this Mishnah, and it's underlined in the middle of page 2, quotes the Mishnah, Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Lo hayu yamim tovim li Yisrael, Chamisha asa ba'av uchi Yom HaKippur. Bishlom Yom HaKippurim, says the Gemara, I know exactly why Yom Kippur should be considered a yamtiv. Bishlom Yom HaKippur mishum de ispe slicha umechila. Yom shenitnu bo luchos achronos. Why is Yom Kippur Yom Kippurim? Why is Yom Kippur the Day of Atonement? Why is Yom Kippur the day, the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us for slicha umechila? Because Yom Kippur is a very important anniversary. Because it was on Yom Kippur many, many years ago that Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the second set of luchos. The first set of luchos, Nebuchadnezzar came down, he saw the Egel Azov smashed. The second set of luchos, which remain for all eternity, the blueprint, not only for Jewish life and Jewish existence, but for all of humanity, came down with Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the third set of 40 days up and down, came down on Yom Kippur. And therefore, since the Luchos Achronos, the Torah, came down to stay on Yom Kippur, Yom Shenitnu Bo Luchos Achronos, therefore this day is extraordinarily special and extraordinarily exalted. The Torah tells us at the bottom of the page in Parshas Kisisa that Moshe Rabbeinu had a particular vision. He looked a particular way when he came down holding the Luchos Achronos. V'yomer Hashem el Moshe, Parshas Kisisa, Ksav Lecha Asadvarm Ha'ele. And V'hi Beredes Moshe Mehar Sinai, Shnei Luchos Oedos Biad Moshe, Beridito Min Ahor, U'Moshe Lo Yoda, Ki Koran Or Panav Bidabro Ito. He looked different. Something almost physically palpable manifested itself in the face of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he didn't even realize Ki Koran Or Panav. Some of you may be familiar with Michelangelo's Portrait of Moses, which is a misunderstanding of this verse. He understood Koran to be horns, a keren, and therefore he painted Moses with horns, the beginning and part of a long history of anti-Semitism vis-a-vis what Jews look like. But it doesn't mean that, obviously. It means a certain radiance. That there was somehow, Moshe Rabbeinu was endowed when he came down with a certain radiance, and he didn't realize it. Vayar Aaron v'chol b'nei Yisrael les Moshe, v'hinei kara nor panav. So tomorrow night and Monday is the anniversary, not only of Moshe Rabbeinu coming down with the second set of luchos, but also the anniversary of some almost physical change in the appearance of Moshe Rabbeinu. And my second question is, Chazal ask, it's a Yalkut Shimoni, Mehechon Notal Moshe Karnehod. My second question is, what is the source? From whence? From where? What is the source for these Karnehod that emanated, that radiated out from the face of Moshe on Yom Kippur many, many years ago when he came down with the second set of luchos? And I'm going to want to expand that question, not only Mehecha Natal Moshe Karnehod, but the night before Yom Kippur, when we think so seriously about ourselves and about our own lives, we also want radiance. We also want to glow. When people look at us, they can tell what kind of a mood we're in. We exude happiness, we exude frustration, we exude anxiety. We want to walk around Malei Simcha. We also want to walk around radiating. And so therefore the question I would ask is, what sources can we draw upon in our own lives all year round, and particularly to access them this evening as we get ready now when we count down less than 24 hours to Yom Kippur? Third question, top right, page 3. There's an amazing medrash. It's an unbelievable medrash. The pasuk says in Parshas Kisavo, the end of Sefer Devarim, the pasuk before, the part of the Torah before the section of the Tochacha, V'hayim shamoa tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha, lishmor la'asos es kol mitzvosa v'asher enochi nitzavcha ayom. The Torah tells us that if we listen and we follow the teachings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, uvo alecha kol abrochos ha'ele v'isigucha, ki sishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha. All kinds of brachos, shefa brachos will pour upon us. And barachata ba'ir, barachata basada, etc. In that context, the pasuk says, and now we're at the underlined part on the top right of page 3, v'hayiso rak lamala, v'lo tihiye lamata, ki sishmal mitzvos Hashem Elokecha. Part of the gift, part of the promise, is we will be, if we follow in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'hayiso rak lamala, v'lo tihiye lamata. Zok de Medrash, top right, yochol kamoni. So the Medrash asks, so you might think that you, human being, is kamoni like the Ribbono Shel Olam. You might think when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in reward for your good behavior, v'hayiso lamayla, you will be on top. So you might think that you're on top, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on top. It's you and God, you're just like God. Talmud Lomar, rak. It doesn't say v'hayiso lamayla, that you will be on top. If it would say you would be on top, you might think that you're on top next to God. So it doesn't say that. It says v'hayiso rak lamayla. What is rak? Loshen miut. You should know gedula si lamala mi gedula aschem. At the end of the day, my greatness, said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is greater than your greatness. Skip a couple of lines on the line. The Medrash continues. V'hadein, kedoshim tihiyu. Very famous pasuk. Kedoshim tihiyu, you will be holy. Yochol kamoni, you might think that you're holy like me, says God. Talmud Lomar, what's the rest of the pasuk? Kedoshim tihiyu, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. You should know, kedushasi lamala mikedushaschem. That at the end of the day, my holiness is on a higher level than your holiness. Frek demira Rashi Shiva Rab Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal. Are you crazy? What is the Havamina? What is the Havamina? What, you need a pusik? You need a pusik? You need a rock to tell me that I'm not as great as God? And if it wouldn't be a rock, you might think Yochol Kamoni? You need ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem, because if the Torah had only said kadoshim tiyu, you might take a think, yochol kamoni, what's wrong with you?
What are you thinking? What are you talking about? I understand the maskana. The maskana is, Kadosh Baruch Hu does me a favor and says, you should know, kedushasi lemayla mikedushaschem. Okay. That part I get. But what's the havamina? And why do I need a pasuk to be mafkia the havamina? Why do I need a pasuk to say, no, no, no. The pasuk says, don't think that. What do you mean, think that? How could you think that? How could a sane human being imagine, contemplate a possibility, a reality of Yachol Kamami? And my final question. And I want to move into the yomtiv of Sukkot a little bit. The yomtiv of Sukkot, unfortunately, often gets short shrift. We spend so much time on the Yomim Noraim, we have to scramble for a couple of days. We don't have the normal Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag. We're so busy focused on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I want to start opening up a little bit about Sukkot and drawing a very important message to tonight. So there's a Medrash in Vayikra Rabba on the top left that's quoted in the Tur in Or HaChaim on the bottom of page 3. So let's work with the Tur. The Tur quotes a Medrash in line 5. Mi Medrash Rebbe Tanchuma. Pasuk says, when it comes to the Arba Minim, very famous Pasuk, Ulakachtam Lochem Bayom Rishon, Pri Eitz Hodor, Kapos Tamarim, Anaf Eitz Ovos, Ba'arve Nacha. The Pasuk in the Torah that requires us to take the Arba Minim. Frek the Medrash, what do you mean, Ulakachtam Lochem Bayom HaRishon, on the first day? When the Torah designates numbers for days, the Torah designates the number based on the day of the month in which that day appears. So Bayom HaRishon is the first day of the month. On the 10th day of the month is the 10th day. The 15th is the 15th. Frek de Medrash, why do you refer to the first day of Sukkot as Bayom HaRishon? Yes, I know it's the first day of Sukkot, but that's not how the Torah does things. V'chi Rishon hu? It should have said, Lokachtim Lachem, Beyom Chamisha Asar, Pri Eitz Hodor, Kapos Tamarim, Anaf Eitz Ovos, V'Arvi Nacham. And for the Medrash, what does it mean, Bayom HaRishon? Rishon L'Cheshbon Avonos. It's the first day of the year when the potential for sin begins to kick in. Because until then, the Medrash quoted by the Torah continues, who has time and who has the capacity, who is capable of sinning? Why? Because on Rosh Hashanah, it's Rosh Hashanah. And then between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Shabbos Tshuva. And then you come to Yom Kippur. And then as soon as Yom Kippur is over, take a look at the end of the tour, B'motzoi Yom HaKippurim, Oskim b'mitzvah sukkah v'lula ve'enos anavonos. So what are you going to do on Monday night? You're going to run straight to make sure that your sukkah is up, and then you're going to run to the bookstore and go find your arba minim. You're going to immediately be misasek in preparing the cheftze mitzvah for the holiday of Sukkot. So who has time to sin? You're so busy from Rosh Hashanah all the way through until Sukkot, you're busy engaged in mitzvahs. Comes the first day of Sukkot. Okay. I'm relaxed. I got it. Baruch Hashem, shachiyanu v'kiyamanu. Rishon l'cheshbon avonos. Now I could do a sin. Page 4. Frekt, the Hela Gittaz. And this is my last question. The Hela Gittaz, it's the bottom left of page, the top of page 4. Ela Dekoshe, the third line in the wide lines of the Taz, the Hela Gittaz, asks the Taz a bomb of a question. Ela Dekoshe, lefi zeh, lama be'emes yihyeh odif ha'achona le'mitzvah shel sukkah, min hayom atzmo she'mekaymim ha'mitzvah. What are you telling me? You're telling me that after Yom Kippur, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, I'm not going to sin. Why am I not going to sin? Because I'm busy setting up my Sukkah, and I'm busy gathering together a Lulav and an Esrog, the Arba Minim. But what about the first day of Sukkot? The first day of Sukkot, I'm mekayim the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah. On the first day of Sukkot, I'm mekayim the mitzvah of arba minim. Till now, was only a hachana for the mitzvah. I was only preparing. Now I'm doing it. Why is it that as long as I'm preparing for the mitzvah, chas v'shalom, I wouldn't even imagine sinning? Now that I'm doing the mitzvah, now I could sin. Since when is the hachana? Lama be'emes yihye odif ha'hachana le'mitzvah shal sukkah. From the actual maisa ha'mitzvah, the kiyum ha'mitzvah of sukkah itself, whether it's yeshiva sukkah, whether it's the arba minim. Four questions. Number one, the first question was, is there an alternative to avodah manachna? Is there an alternative to this vision that we are glass, that we are simply clay in the hands of the divine molder, that we have no say at all, that we're just a passing shadow, and that we're just flying dust? Is that it? Is that the totality of my self-consciousness tonight, the night before Yom Kippur? The second question, Mehechon Natal Moshe Karneho. Where did the radiance come from? Tomorrow night, Monday, many thousands of years ago, the anniversary of the time when Moshe came down with the second Luchos, and the Torah says, V'lo Yoda, Moshe, Ki Koran, Or Panav, where did it come from? And not just where does Moshe's Koran, Or Panav, but each of us want radiance. Where does it come from? The third question is, what's the Havamina of Yochol Kamoni? It's an amazing question. It's such an obvious question. What do you mean, Yochol Kamoni, that you need a pasuk to tell me, no, don't make that mistake? But otherwise I would make such a mistake. And the fourth question is the Taz's question. Why is preparing for Sukkot more profound, more spiritually engaging, more distancing me from sin than the actual performance of the Maisa HaMitzvah of Sukkah itself? I want to begin by drawing a bridge between my talk and the talk of Rav Aaron Kahn that is going to follow. I want to begin with the notion of the power of preparation. The power of preparation is central for us. We understand what it means to prepare. We went through a whole Chodesh Elul. Hopefully we took advantage of Chodesh Elul to properly prepare. And then we got into Slichas. So the Ashkenazim start Slichas later. Sfardim already start Slichas with the advent of Chodesh Elul. And then we have Rosh Hashanah, and then we have Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and then we come to Erev Yom Kippur. Rabbi Kahn, more than 20 years ago, wrote a very important article in Beis Yosef Shaul. I xeroxed for you in the middle of page 4 the bibliography. It's a very yesodistic, important article on what is the nature of Erev Yom Kippur, and we're looking forward to his presentation shortly. The fundamental mitzvah of Erev Yom Kippur is there's a mitzvah to eat. There's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. There's a whole ream of material on the nature of that mitzvah and the reason for the mitzvah. I just want to mention Rashi in Brachas Ches Amid Beis. Rashi says, why do we eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Hechinu atzmechem betisha lechodesh le'inui hamachras. Eating on Erev Yom Kippur is not a din in Erev Yom Kippur. Eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a din in Yom Kippur. It's to help me prepare. The notion of using the time before Yom Kippur to prepare for Yom Kippur. If you look on page 5, I xeroxed from a talk that the Rav Zatzal gave many years ago when he talked about his own personal experience as a little boy on Erev Yom Kippur. I remember how difficult it was to go to sleep on Erev Yom Kippur, top left, page 5. The Shoichet used to come at the break of dawn to provide chickens for the Kapporis ritual, and later the people would give charity. The wallets of Jews were open twice a year, Erev Yom Kippur and Purim, but especially on Erev Yom Kippur. Mincha, Vidui, Suda, Mafsekes, my grandfather's preparations, I'm not sure which grandfather this is, whether it's Rebella Pruziner, whether it's the maternal grandfather, Reb Chaim Brisker, the paternal grandfather, When the Rav was a very little boy, he grew up and lived with his maternal parents. And then when he got a little bit older, he used to go with his parents to his paternal grandparents to go for Yom Tov. And he would often talk about his experience of davening next to Reb Chaim, when he used to talk about the power of the passion of the tefillah. You're not just saying words, you're not just articulating phrases, but you're feeling something, what it meant to watch Reb Chaim say the avoda, the sadness when we got to the part of Nebuch, we can't do this anymore, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. It's not just some theory, but it's actual, real, it's internalized, it's something that we feel. My Zaydis preparations, all of this, Mincha, Vidui, all made Erev Yom Kippur a special entity, not only halachic, but emotional. Erev Yom Kippur constitutes the herald that the Ribbono Shel Olam is coming, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. The Rav quoted from a Ramban. The Ramban says, what does it mean, Lifnei Hashem Titaru? We normally understand that it means sort of a spatial concept. Before God, when I stand in the presence of God, I should be purified. The Ramban says that Lifnei Hashem Titaru is not in terms of space, but in terms of time. Before I come to God, before I enter into, Lifnei before, not standing in the presence of, but before I come into God, I already have to think of Tahara. It's a beautiful footnote in Al HaTshuva. I xeroxed it in English for you on the top right-hand side of page 5. I teach a course at Stern College on Thursdays, and I'm honored that some of my students have come to be with me this evening. And my students know that when class is over at 20 minutes to 2, I wish them a guten Erev Shabbos. My students at Yeshiva College, where I also teach, know that when I see them in the hallway on Friday, I wish them a guten Erev Shabbos. Not everybody says have a good Shabbos, and I say have a good Erev Shabbos. Because I was deeply moved when I read this footnote in Rav Soloveitchik's Al HaTshuva, where he talks about the fact that in America we have Baruch Hashem Shomrei Shabbos, but we don't have Erev Shabbos Jews. That we're so busy running around on Friday trying to chop around the last minutes and pushing into the shkia and pushing the candle lighting, that we don't really prepare ourselves. And what we need more is Erev Shabbos Jews. And so therefore now let's come to answer question number 4. Question number 4 was the Halakha Taz's question. The Taz asked, why is the preparation for the mitzvah of Sukkah more significant and more removing me from potentially sinning than the actual performance of the mitzvah? Zok the Halakha Sfasemis, Aval Ein Hadover Rachok, bottom right, page 5. He quotes the Tur, he quotes the Taz, and he says it makes a lot of sense. She yoser koach v'hatzala yesh b'hachonas ha-mitzvah miguf kiyum ha-mitzvah. That you're absolutely right. It's remarkable. There's a greater power in the hachana, in the preparation, than in the actual performance. Echad ki asiyas ha-mitzvah hu rak l'sha'a v'ha-hachana hu li'ola. How long does it take to do the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah? And especially in the context of the Arba Minim, it's so fast that it poses a significant halachic challenge. Because we know the halachic principle that we have to make a bracha over l'asiyasan. We have to make a bracha, the birchas ha-mitzvah has to be before we do the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. So the Gemara says, what am I going to do when it comes to Arba Minim? After all, mida'ag behei nafak behei. As soon as I pick it up, I'm done. I'm already mekayim the mitzvah. So we have this whole dray, and I mean dray literally. We take the esrig and we dray the esrig because we don't pick it up, derech gidulo, because in a second we're mekayim the mitzvah. The hachana for the mitzvah is a lifetime. The hachana for the mitzvah is for our whole life. The way we live our lives, the way we pattern our thinking, the values that we have. This is what we bring into the mitzvos that we perform. What are we coming with tonight? What are we walking into shul with tomorrow night? We're walking in with ourselves, an aggregate, a whole collection of experiences that make us who we are. And it's that we bring with us. It's not just the act itself. The act itself is transitory. The act itself, you did it, you're done, you mekayim the mitzvah, everything is great, wonderful. And it is wonderful. But the hachana is a lifetime. The hachana, the preparation, the mindset, the values, who we are, what we are, the way we walk and the way we talk all the time is what we bring into our relationship to God. The second reason, he says, va'od, ki mi yuchal lekayim ha-mitzvah kimishpata. It's an amazing thing. You know, maybe I'm not going to get it right. Something that's complicated. A certain amount of time and a certain shear, and I have to do it exactly this way. I'm going to try. I learned the halachas. So I'm going to do my best. But maybe one hara le'epis, something went wrong. The hachana, my feelings, my emotions, my connection, my relationship, my being, my essence. It's all good. It's good because we try to shape our lives that are lives of meaning. Which brings me to the answer to question number 3. Top of page 6. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichas Musar. Question number 3 was, what's the Havamina? Yochol Kamoni, Talmud Lomar V'Hayisa Rak Lamaila. Kedoshim Tihiyu, Yachol Kamoni, Talmud Lomar, Kikadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Kedushasi Lamaila Mikedushaschem. 5 lines from the bottom of Reb Chaim in the Sichas Musar, top of page 6. V'hine Hava Mina Kazos, Shel Yachol Kamoni, Maflia Osanu. It astounds us. It astounds us. It is a davar pele. It is a wonder, this havamina. Ve'ilmale medrish kosov e efshar laomro. And if it wasn't a text, we could never say it. It is ludicrous. It is preposterous to have such a havamina of Yochol Komoni. You might think that you're just like God. V'haynu mushum, says Reb Chaim, do you know why it's so ludicrous? Do you know why you think it's so preposterous that you can't even fathom the havamina of Yochol Kamoni? V'haynu mishum she'einanu yodim umakirim begadlus ha'adam. Because we don't know how great a human being is. Because we really don't have confidence in the tremendous power that a human being has. We're not in touch with what it is that we can accomplish. Avol Chazal sheyodu vehikiru. Chazal knew godless ha'adam. Chazal knew what a human being is. Ra'u makom liyachol kamoni v'hutzruchu pasik miyuchad l'mayitzos. Chazal could say, you know what? It is not a bizarre, ludicrous havamina. You know why? Because a human being is endowed with extraordinary greatness. A human being could live a life of transcendence. A human being could live a life of meaning. A human being could live a life of nobility. A human being could reach the chasrehu ma'at me'elokim. Of course, at the end of the day, it's not. We know it's not. But to contemplate for a second, a havamina, maybe we're up there, that we can't imagine, is because we don't know the koiches of a human being. And so therefore, we answered also question number 1. Question number 1 was, Mashal kecheres hanishbar, we are passing shadow, kihine kachomer biyad hayotzer. Nebuch, a garnished, a nothing, worthless. I have no say. I have no bailus. I have no capacity. I can't define my own destiny. I'm just passive in the hands of the divine. And the answer is, of course, fundamentally, that is true at a very basic level. We are all biyad Hashem. We are all in God's hands. At the end of the day, we're not in control. But at the end of the day, at some level, we are in control. We are in control of the way we live our lives. and we could make our lives great. And when we walk into Yom Kippur, and we walk into Yom HaDin, walk in with a sense of, yes, I know I'm in your hands, but you, God, endowed me as a human being with a capacity for greatness. You put a havamin in the medrash that says, Yachol Kamoni, because you know what I can accomplish. You know that I could stand tall. You know that I could make a difference. You know that I could live a life of nobility, a life of transcendence, and a life of meaning. One of my students in Yeshiva College published an article in the current issue of Kol HaMavaser. You should be able to get it. I hope it's here in the entryway. The current issue of Kol HaMavaser, a student publication of Yeshiva University. He published an English translation of a Yiddish talk that Rav Soloveitchik gave many years ago. A Yid is geglichen to a Sefer Torah. The current issue of Kol HaMavaser. A Yid is geglichen to a Sefer Torah. A Jew is like a Sefer Torah. And the first Gemara that the Rav brought is the Gemara at the bottom of page 6. Ha'omer al hames b'shas yitzias neshama chayev lekroa. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, Perek HaOreg, that if somebody, God forbid, is present when a human being, not just a human being, here we're talking about a Jew, when a Jew passes away, Ha'omer al hames b'shas yitzias neshama, you have to tear kriya. It's not a relative. It's not somebody that you have to sit shiva for. You have to tear kriya, rachmana litzlan, if you're present at the passing of a Jew. Why? Holamaze doma l'sefer Torah shenisrafa. When a neshama leaves a Jew, it's like a sefer Torah was burned. Says Rashi, bottom left, af nishmas Yisrael haniteles domelo she'ein lecha reik b'Yisrael she'ein bo Torah mitzvos. Every Jew, no matter who, no matter what, no matter where, epis, ashtikala, something, Torah and mitzvahs. There's not a single Jew that is fully empty, devoid of Torah and mitzvahs. So you don't have to be a Rashka Bahag, and you don't have to be a Godel, and you don't have to be Chabi Malachim by the feast. You're a Jew, you're engaged with God. You're a Jew, you have Torah and mitzvahs. You're a Jew, you're a Sefer Torah. You're a Sefer Torah, you can make a difference. You're not just a passing shadow, and you're not just flying dust, and you're not just a piece of clay, and you're not just a piece of glass, and you're not just a stone. You are a Sefer Torah. Walk around like a Sefer Torah. Stand tall like a Sefer Torah. You can make a difference like a Sefer Torah. Go into Yom Kippur. Of course we're in God's hands. But go in with a sense of, you know what? I'm going to try to do the best that I can. Because in this world, I could live a life of nobility. I could live a life of transcendence. And I could live a life of meaning. Which brings me to the last text on page 7, question number 2. The first question was, is there an alternative to the clay and the glass? And the answer is yes. The third question is, what's the havamin of Yachol Kamoni? And the answer is human greatness, godless ha'adam, godless ha'adam. This is the title of my talk this evening. There's an alternative view. We generally get beaten up when we walk into shul on Yom Kippur. And Mashal Kecheres HaNishbar helps in that direction. And it's important. And we should feel like we're getting beaten up. But that's not the whole story. There's a story that's called, I know I'm in God's hands. At the end of the day, I am not in control. At the end of the day, God is in control. But as long as I have kol zman shehaneshama bekirbi, I am a sefer Torah. Kol zman shehaneshama bekirbi, I could make a difference. I could live, I can accomplish, and I can do. And that was the answer to the fourth question, Rishon l'cheshbon avonos, because the Heilige Sfas Emes says that the Taz got it exactly right. That the hachana is greater than the maisa, because the hachana is a lifetime. The hachana is a lebedik sefer Torah. The hachana is the way we live our lives all year round. Which brings me to question number 2. Mehechan Natal Moshe Karnei Hod. You remember tomorrow night, Monday is an anniversary. It's an anniversary of the time when Moshe came down with the document which remains and will always remain forever, the blueprint for Jewish life, for Jewish living and for all of humanity. The Luchos Achronos, it's the anniversary of the Luchos Achronos. Moshe had Karnei Hod when he came down. Mehechon frekt the Yalkut Shimoni, bottom half of page 7. Mehechon Notal Moshe Karnei Hod, where did it come from? And I'm expanding the question, and the question is for each of us. As we now get ready for Yom Kippur, we want radiance. We want to shine. We want to feel good. We want to feel like we can make a difference. We want to accomplish. Where is this going to come from? Where do we have to dig into in order to be able to access this feeling that, you know what, I could really make a difference? Mehecha Nota Moshe Karnei Hod. The Yalkut Shimoni gives 3 explanations. I want to walk you through each one of them. Rabboseinu Omrim, third line, last entry, page 7. Rabboseinu Omrim, Min Hama'ora, from the cave. Shenemar v'hayo ba'avor kvodi, v'samticha b'nikras hatzur. You remember Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to see the glory of God. And God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go into the cave, you're not going to see my face, you can only see my back. You know where Moshe Rabbeinu got his karnei hod from? Moshe Rabbeinu got it from that experience of being in the Ma'ara. Who was in the Ma'ara with Moshe Rabbeinu? Nobody. He was by himself. You want karnei hod? You want radiance? Look inside. Look into your own Ma'ara. We spend so much time trying to be engaged with others. We spend so much time trying to fill our space. We spend so much time placing a premium, and to a large extent we should, on the relationships that we have with others. But where's the white space? Where am I? Am I comfortable with myself? Am I happy with myself? Am I okay being alone by myself? Just taking a walk? Just going to the museum? Just going to a concert? Just being by ourselves? You want to have karnei hod? You don't have to look further than yourself, because you are the greatest gift that you have, because you are a lebedek sefer Torah, because you have a capacity. You have a capacity, yachol kamoni, to live a life. You, individually, first, have a capacity to live a life of nobility and of sanctity and of meaning and of transcendence. And that's where it comes from. Don't be afraid of yourself. Freudian psychoanalysis places a premium on interpersonal relationships. Our health is measured to a large extent by the level at which we can relate to other people and open ourselves up and engage with other people. And there's a lot of wisdom. Anthony Storr, a British psychoanalyst about 20 years ago, wrote a book called Solitude. Solitude is designed to redress what he considered to be an imbalance. It's not just our relationship with somebody else. It's not just Bein Adam LaChavero. It's also solitude. It's Bein Adam LaAtzmo. It's the Ma'ara of the Yalkut Shimoni. Be comfortable with yourself. Think highly of yourself. Drill into yourself. Access yourself for the source of your greatest radiance. Second answer. Second answer in the Medrash. Reb Brechia Omer. Unbelievable. Reb Brechia Omer min haluchos. Do you know where Moshe Rabbeinu got the karnei hod? It was from the luchos. You remember, he came down, he was holding the luchos. Now listen to this vision. Orkon shaluchos shisha tfachim. The luchos was 6 tfachim long. Verachvan gimel, and they were 3 tfachim wide. V'hoya Moshe machzik bebeis tfachim. Moshe was holding on to the bottom 2 tfachim. V'hakadosh baruch hu bebeis tfachim. And God is giving him, right, you picture the scene, Moshe is below, God is above, God is handing him the luchos, God is holding on to the top 2, Moshe is holding on to the bottom 2. You don't have to be a genius to know, ubeis tfachim, revach be'emtza, there were 2 in the middle, neither being held by God, nor being held by Moshe. Misham, natal Moshe, karneho, from the 2 in the middle. If we want radiance, if we want a bracha, if we want to feel going into Yom Kippur, that we could do it. We could make it happen because we have the capacity. If we want to live a life, we cannot live that life fully in the realm of the top 2 tfachim. The top 2 tfachim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds on to, They're gods. They're too holy. They're too divine. They're too spiritual. They're too ethereal. They're too above. I can't live my life in that world of the top two tefachim. And I don't want to live my life only in the bottom two tefachim. The bottom two tefachim are too earthly. They're too physical. They're too material. They're too much gashmius. Do you know where I want to live my life? And do you know where I will access Karnei Hod, the radiance and the meaning for myself? From the Beis Tfachim, Revach Be'emza. From those two Tfachim in the middle that are neither God nor human. From those two Tfachim in the middle that are in fact both God and human. From the capacity that I have to try to take earth and bring it a little bit closer to heaven. To try to take the life, the physical life that I lead, and grant it a measure of kedusha, a measure of sanctity, a measure of hecherkeit. To extract myself from my physicality and live a life of nobility. To take the bottom two tefachim and move them up. And at the same time, to take the Ribbono Shel Olam, and to take the Torah, and to take the Spirit, and to take the divine, and to take the godly, and bring it a little bit closer to our earth. You want to have radiance? The radiance comes from the Shnei Tfachim Be'emza. Not on the top, it's too holy for me. Not on the bottom, it's too earthly for me. To be able to combine, as a human being, our lives as human beings, and a sense of the majesty of the divine. Finally, the last answer, Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Nachman Amar, unbelievable. Kishemoshe kasav es haTorah, nishtayer bekumus kima. The Medrash presents Moshe Rabbeinu as a sofer. What does the sofer do? The sofer has a parchment, and the sofer has a quill, and the sofer has ink, and the sofer writes with the ink from the quill onto the parchment. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote a whole sefer Torah. When he finished writing the Torah, Kishemoshe kasav es haTorah, nishtayer bekumus kima. You know what? There was a shtikala epis, a little bit of ink that was left in the quill. And it got on his fingers. Ve'eviro al rosho. And he wiped his brow. Umisham nasulo karnei hod. Who wrote in the history of humanity more than Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the book that's the blueprint for the totality of human existence. Nobody wrote more than Moshe. But Moshe always had, even when he finished, he had a little drop left. There was always something else that he could write. We write books. We talk about the notion of books. We daven in our davening, and we invoke the phenomenon of books. Zochreinu l'chaim, melachafetz b'chaim, v'chosveinu b'sefer ha'chaim. We write books, and every year is another chapter in the book that we write. And we finished last year's, and now we're starting this year's. And we ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make the chapter that we will write this year to be a meaningful one. And we should never think that our work is over. We should never think we did it, we're done, that's it. Moshe Rabbeinu, who wrote endless, eternal, had a little bit left over. And look at the difference that one drop could make. Sometimes we think, you know, I'm not really in a position, I'm not a big leader, I'm not a big macherter, I'm not a big knacker. You know what I mean? I'm just kind of like getting through, I'm trying to do my thing, I'm a student, I'm just trying to make it through. We don't realize that we're a lebedik sefer Torah. We don't realize yachol kamoni. We don't realize one drop, that's all it was. From that one drop came the Karnei Hod that defined Moshe Rabbeinu when he came home with the Luchos. One hug, one hello, one Maisa HaMitzvah, one Maisa Chesed, one drop. You have that in you. You could make it happen. Access it. Access the Ma'ara within yourself. Access the two Tfachim in the middle. This amazing life that we lead to try to combine heaven and earth, to bring them together. Those two tefachim that are both heaven and earth, bringing heaven closer to earth, and earth a little closer to heaven. And finally, Mehechanota Moshe Karnehod, from the awareness that we have a little bit more in us, we could make a difference, even a little drop. And so therefore we understand that there's an alternative to the clay and there's an alternative to the passing shadow. We are in God's hands 1,000%. But while we're in God's hands, we're a Sefer Torah, we can make a difference. There's a Havamina of Yachol Kamoni, and we need a Pasuk to say no, because we can achieve V'chasrehu Ma'at Me'elokim. Rishon L'cheshban Avonos is the lives that we lead, the preparation that we bring to everything we do, because that's who we are, and we can live lives of nobility, lives of transcendence, and lives of meaning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant us, as we now wind down less than 24 hours to go, that we should appreciate the extraordinary gift that God gives us, to appreciate ourselves, to appreciate our families, to appreciate our communities, to daven the way we're supposed to daven, to throw ourselves into the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should respond, and to grant all of us, Bechlal u'Befrat, a wonderful and a meaningful and a peaceful and a special and a healthy new year. Thank you.